This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the morning run. Julian Ng, Lin Mao, and Charitz Abdullah here with you. This 27th of March, almost the end of March already. And usually at the 6 a.m. hour, we've been bringing you very interesting discussions that are sort of the lighter side of business.
Yes, we do.
So, but I don't know.
Not such a lighter side of business, maybe, perhaps.
But I don't know. How are you feeling, first of all, today, Julian?
I'm actually not feeling very well.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get this day through.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wonder what that is all about.
It's just a routine sickness. Yeah. I think that's a bug. That's a bug going around.
I think there is. I don't know about you guys, but I'm also very sleep deprived. But then that's kind of par for the course for me. So I guess it's only fitting then that we're going to be talking about Malaysians' sleeping habits later in this hour. So apparently, 9 out of 10 Malaysians don't sleep well. So this is according to the 2018 Nielsen Sleep Survey, which was conducted in conjunction with World Sleep Day, which fell on March 15th. And I didn't know this. Otherwise, I would have spent March 15th in bed, probably.
Just in bed. That's what we all should do. That's a staggering statistic, though. 9 out of 10.
That's a big one.
No, speaking about balancing sleep, and another thing that we have to balance is work. So our Deputy Prime Minister came up with a statement yesterday saying that there's a need for parents and also employers to sort of work together and try and promote a work-life balance environment, you know, because it's important for the children, it's important for the family. So, I think it's time to really address this issue.
Okay.
Talk about it.
All right. Related to that as well, the office design may be your enemy in propping up your productivity. We're going to talk about that next. If you want to join in the discussion, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be coming back with more discussions. And here is Elton John with Rocket Man. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Elton John with Rocket Man. You're listening to The Morning Run with Julian, Lin and Charitz. If you've ever found that you just don't get anything done while you're in the office, that's like most of us, it could be that it's not you, it's your office. And there's this interesting article in Huffington Post, 5 insidious ways your office design can make you less productive. And these 5 factors are still office air, poor lighting, no plants, temperature, and most importantly, colleagues that you don't like.
Yeah, so I laughed when I saw this article, partly because in our old office,
is there a colleague you don't like, Lynn? We won't tell. Tell us and we won't tell.
I mean, considering I sit right next to you, Julian.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding. Because in our old office, I was one of what we used to call the White Walkers. So yeah. We loved it really, really cold in the office.
From The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah. No, Julian, from Game of Thrones.
White Walkers? Oh, sorry. Yeah, The Walking Dead is just The Walkers.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I missed. Well, I mean, I think the zombies move from Walking Dead to Game of Thrones. Who knows,
oh,
right?
Yeah, well, okay.
We'll find out.
There's a new season coming out.
We'll find
out. No. Okay. Well, the point I was trying to make here is that this was a constant not fight, but it was like a friendly argument over who had control of the aircon remote, and that was definitely one of the things that impacted my productivity. Less so colleagues that I don't like. I don't actually have colleagues that I don't like.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay. I feel better now.
But, you know, now there is that trend of a open office concept, right? I mean, where everyone shares an open space, there's no partition. It's supposed to promote a lot of discussion, a lot of communication, socializing, right?
Serendipitous encounters.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I got lost there, but but nevertheless, I think it's just a case that, you know, these sort of concept is not for everyone. I think human by nature, I think, is very unique. Some are a bit more private than others. Some are very social, and they thrive in their different elements. Right? I mean, some people they need perfect silence to work, and some enjoy the noise, and that's when they really excel.
Correct. I think the introverts would have a very hard time in the open office concept. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of like borderline extrovert. I'm more of an introvert, and I need that quiet, as you put it, Sharit. And I guess BFM has a way of doing it when you put on your headphones that signal that you don't want to talk to anyone, because our office is really open. And I'm sure with the, you know, today's office designs, most of the offices today are open. Like you look at the building that we are in, it's basically transparent, right? You can see through everything.
we work in a fishbowl, basically.
Exactly.
There you go.
But the thing, I guess, so looking at this list, actually, our office doesn't do too badly. We've got very nice lighting because of all the windows. Yep. We have a mostly green building, so I think we do not too badly. So for us, also one of the things that we have is that we have little quiet pockets where we can work. So I think that helps to mitigate the effect of the open office slightly. So if you disappear into a corner and you're sitting on your own with your headphones on, generally no one disturbs you, and I think that's one of the easiest ways for me as well to get things done, because I think I also fall towards the introvert end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, office space is becoming a very important sort of component in, you know, when organizations are now trying to entice talents, right? I mean, people are introducing different things. For example, having a foosball table or, you know, some
ping pong table. Pantry that's stocked with like amazing food.
Yeah, amazing food. They stock it up like us, you know, there's always that. But I don't know if that's productive though at the same time.
Well, distracting, I feel, sometimes.
I've been to the Google office, and the pantry is amazing. At meal times, for example, lunch and breakfast, they got this full buffet that's going on. I mean, not like the hotels, but at least for their own purposes, it's really good and it's quite delicious.
I wonder how it does in the long run. I mean, productivity has something to do with your health as well. And having an open snack bar doesn't sound very
true.
Have healthy snacks.
Yeah, what about working from home? I think that's a trend that's picking up as well, but not so, because there are certain companies that actually reverse that working from home. Well, we can talk more about this later, because there are a number of productivity stories today. And as usual, if you want to say something to us, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. BFM 89.9, Alanis and Alanis Morissette.
Alanis.
Tongue twister there. So Pure, you're listening to The Morning Run with Julian Lin and Sharit Abdullah. There are a lot of sayings about sleep. Sleep is for the weak. You can sleep when you're dead. And the fact is, 9 out of 10 Malaysians just aren't getting enough sleep. This is according to the 2018 National Sleep Survey conducted by Nielsen Malaysia. Half of the Malaysians survey rated their sleep quality as average. A third have problems sleeping once or twice a week. And a quarter find that they can't get to sleep as often as 3 to 4 times a week. That's me. I'm the last guy.
Yeah, me too, I think. I would fall within that last quarter, because sometimes you just can't get your brain to turn off, especially when you've been working long hours and maybe you don't have enough time to unwind before you have to go to bed. And for us here on The Morning Run, we do have to get to bed quite early. So if it can become quite a vicious cycle. Like if you can't get to sleep, you just get more stressed, and then it's even worse. You really can't get
to sleep. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because we gotta, like, if we are going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning or 4 a.m. in the morning, we got to sleep by 8:30, which is a ridiculous time to go to bed.
Yeah, 9:30 is already really late.
Yeah. That's like a lifelong mission for me. I mean, just trying to get myself to sleep and even the kids to sleep. And one of the, as you mentioned, one of the things, the mood is one thing. I've been on and off sort of doing it, like, as getting the lights off, turning the lights off and turning off the TV. But eventually, you know, we're just creatures of habit, and it's just hard to let go of those lifestyles, isn't it?
Yeah, I think certain consultants or sleep analysts, sleep consultants would change the word habit to addiction, right? Because we have an addiction to our screens. We can't put them down. We keep watching Netflix, you know, which is not a bad thing on normal hours. But when you need to go to sleep, the mind is so activated. So I've done a few things over the course of the last, I guess, 2 years, making my room as dark as possible. Apparently, that's very good for sleep quality. Having the right temperature for it as well. We've been through some very hot weather over the last few weeks. And that I'm very sensitive to those kind of things, like light and heat.
Yeah, so am I. And there's also that awareness about your circadian cycle as well, isn't it? I mean, if we know how the sleep pattern works, it could improve sort of your sleep lifestyle. And I think there's a lot of application these days that sort of help you to sort of measure when you should go to sleep and when you should wake up. Because I think the science behind it is that if you wake up, even though you have a long sleep, right, it's not really much. It's not really so much how much. It's not really so much how long you sleep, but it's waking up right at the end after you know, you've passed your deep sleep and also your light sleep phase. Yeah. So if you are woken up right in the middle of your deep sleep, that's when it's very difficult for you to recover and you start feeling very groggy.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a, if I'm not mistaken, it's a 3 hour cycle.
One and a half, three hours, four and a half, six hours. But you have to be mindful that you take about 15 minutes before you actually fall asleep.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are apps that would help that.
So, in fact, following that theory, if you had 6.5 hours of sleep, or I think the number is seven and a half divisible by 1.5, right? That is actually okay. Mm. And you take 1.5 out of that, 6 hours is also okay. But if you wake up something in between, then you'll start feeling groggy. Yeah. Basically, this like caveman style of sleeping, right? Sleep when the sun sets and wake up when the sun rises.
Or alternatively, so what I do is I just I turn off all my lights and just try and trick my brain into thinking that it's nighttime when it's not actually, because sometimes, you know, you go to here in the morning run, we go to bed or we start going to bed at 7 and the sun is still in the sky.
At 7? That's crazy.
Yeah, because I take that like an hour to unwind. 15 minutes is not enough because I'll still be thinking about work. I'll still be thinking about, oh, maybe what program can I watch? What thing can I read? And it's just, I can't switch my brain off long enough to actually fall asleep.
Mm. Yeah, and also I think it's, for us, it's really synchronizing with the family members, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's true. So do you have really the same bedtime as your children now, Sharitz?
I don't. Fortunately, there are occasions when they do sleep at the same time as me, and especially now they do because of school holidays, and they're out playing all day long, which is great. And they get knackered by the time it's 7:30, so it's great. But I mean, on a school day, no, because they're so tired after school that they nap for a bit, and then that's when it sort of drags on. It gets really difficult. But again, on the circadian, once I pass a certain time, then it's better to just go for 4.5 hours. But I don't know in the long run what it does to you.
It's not good for your body, apparently.
Yeah, but you know, one more thing though is that there's a lot of confusing theories out there. Some say that you can be sleep deprived during the week, but you can sort of catch up over the weekend or something. But apparently, but there's also another one saying that that doesn't work.
The raking up the sleep that doesn't really work. Also, I think I do agree that it might not all be science. It's probably an art, sleeping, because during the caveman times, it's all about fight or flight, right? So if you needed to wake up, if there are some dangerous animals around the corner, you can't say, oh, I gotta sleep 8 hours, you know, stop your attacking of me. That's fight or flight, right?
But then it has been a long, long time since we were cavemen, and I feel like we've probably evolved to maybe need more sleep. Maybe we have.
You think so? You think
we've
evolved?
Maybe we use up more. Well, yes, but also maybe. Also, maybe we just use up more mental energy in the day, so that requires a longer period for our brains to recover overnight.
Yeah. Tell us how many hours you're sleeping by WhatsApping or tweeting us, and we're coming up to the news, and after that, we'll be back with more discussions. Here's Paula Cole, Where Have All the Boys Gone? BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Float On by Modest Mouse. You're with The Morning Run, and I'm Julian Ng, and joined by Lin Mao and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, the Deputy Prime Minister, Dato Sri Dr. Wan Aziza Ismail, is calling for Malaysians to strike a balance between their work life and family. She's suggesting that government and private sector play their respective roles to help workers do this.
That's right. So parents, as we know, on the other hand, the reality is that they need to be out there and they need to work. And you know, but nevertheless, there has to be a, you know, that realization that you need to manage time better. And again, not let their, you know, all this business schedule sort of holding, you know, hold them back from spending time with their family, because it's very important.
Yeah, so a little while back, I spoke to the Deputy Women's Minister for International Women's Day, and this was also one of the things that she highlighted in that interview. I think one of the questions was that if one of the key points was that the government cannot ask the private sector to do something if the government isn't taking steps to ensure that their own house is in order, right? So they have been, I think they've implemented flexi hours for parents. They've also kind of tried to streamline the implementation, the introduction of kindergartens into government agencies. Did you know that there were different, there were four different ministries handling kindergartens before this? That's madness.
That's crazy.
That's completely inefficient.
One would think that it should just directly be under the Ministry of Education.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
One would think so, or a combination of the Education Ministry and the Women's Ministry, right? But I think one was under Pramatha, one was under the Prime Minister's Department, one was under the Women's Ministry. So it was very all over the place. So it's quite interesting that this is one of the things that they're pushing for this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So that inefficiency is something that really needs to be addressed. But at the same time, you know, this announcement sounds quite holistic. I know that the word holistic is not the most favorable word, the buzzword that we all dislike. But, there's that responsibility between parents, and there's also the government. They can play a role, and there's also the employers. And I think having employers being more understanding, and that's the tough part, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, it's wanting to get the most out of the workers. And but what's really important here is that when parents have a stable household, I mean, there's less problem at home. I think you bring your best quality to work.
Well, I think it's not only that, because it's good for business, and especially the business of winning votes, right? If you have a happy population, then people feeling optimistic and euphoric would be more likely to vote for you. So I think that Wan Aziza always means well, but I'm very wary about politicians actually just paying lip service to this kind of broad statements, right? How do you actually execute and implement such a policy where people can have proper work-life balances? And a lot of times, I also think it boils down to dollars and cents, right? Do we have the funds to do that? Because for a corporation to install kindergartens, daycares in the offices, it costs money, right? It requires an assessment of the demographics of your employees and how many people are you going to how many kids are you going to put into that childcare?
Right. And it's also, I think the consideration is also the same when it comes to whether or not companies should implement flexi hours, right? Because it's always the debate between, is it more productive? Do you get more things done? Or will you just... or will this wind up costing the company money in terms of your productivity and time? But I think it's ultimately boils down to whether you're looking at a short-term benefit or a long-term benefit, because the long-term benefit is your employees' wellness and happiness and their willingness to commit to do more for you as a company, because you have taken that extra step to support them. I think that's essentially what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I think that this has to do with how sexist men are, right? Because the corporate world is a very patriarchal world, and they don't understand this kind of thing, right? Housewives are not nearly paid enough for the kind of work that they do, whereas the husband has a lot of control over how the household is being run. And things like working from home, right? Why would we want to continue to be against those kind of ideas? Because it's about just getting the job done, not really about control. You don't want to place too much controls on your staff, but just have that project-driven, you know, results-oriented work relationship, which you can do from home, right? With technology and all that today, you can do that from home.
Yeah, so speaking about technology, I think there has been some discussion, push about having 4 days week work. And there has been some good examples out there as well. I mean, especially how employers could engage the employees. Again, I think the critical layer here is really the employers. Government can only set policies. Workers are subjected to how the employers react. And I think it's just trying. So it's really how to get employers buy-in really on this idea.
Okay, we'll be back with more discussions. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're with Morning Run. That was David Bowie with Heroes. You're with Julian Lin and Sharitz. And we've been talking about work-life balance and sleep and office designs. Pretty interesting discussion, productivity-related discussions today.
That's right. And on a school holiday, nevertheless. So we got a WhatsApp message from Lokin Y, and she's texted us for the first time. So she's saying that her Fitbit, that thing that you wear on your wrist, records my sleep, averaging about 5 to 5.5 hours a night. And deep sleep is less than an hour, so we'll need to work on it. How do you work on your deep sleep, though? Is that within your control?
Yeah, I was just told that the best-selling product on Amazon.com is the Lacto fan, which produces white noise. White noise is something that can take your mind. If you latch onto it, your mind can calm down and not focus on other things.
It's true. I think because my aircon in my room is quite loud,
it creates that drone.
Yeah. And you know, when you have a blackout in the middle of the night and the aircon switches off, it's that silence that wakes you up more than anything.
Ironically,
that's right.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Fitbit, by the way, also a very big player in the sleep market. They have got some of the biggest sleep data in the world.
Really?
And they have opened up this data to universities and to researchers just to analyze how people sleep.
And I think it's also to sort of promote healthcare as well. I mean, to corporations saying that, hey, look, if you wear Fitbit, you get to track the health of your employees, and maybe you can suggest privacy issues.
Yeah, that concerns me a little bit, because I used to have a Fitbit and I don't recall checking a button to say that it's okay to share my data, but then it has been a while, so I may have just forgotten.
It'd be weird to have your boss just suddenly coming next to you and say, hey, are you sleeping all right?
It would really, actually. So we also have another tweet here from Hiswani Hassan, who says, setting aside long work hours, which does create value, long commuting times take away from that family time. So this is talking about that work-life balance.
I have had that experience, and I think my life has been better since.
Right, because you used to have a really long commute, didn't you, Sharon?
That's Putrajaya, right?
All the way there. Well, okay, fine. I mean, I do take a long time because I take the public transport, but that is also my rest time. But you're right, it does take away family time. But there's a lot of but here. Mm. That sleep time gives me more quality when I deal with my children when I get home.
Okay.
Because some people do get tired. So that's why I think that consideration, people shouldn't be in their car, being in traffic. Because you can't sleep when you're driving, right? But you still spend plus minus about the same amount of time. Well, really?
Really?
Okay. Really? Can you?
Some countries have proposed that the commute time, obviously these are rich Western countries, perhaps more Scandinavian in nature. I don't remember exactly which country, but they have proposed that commute time, you should be paid for that.
Oh, yes, I've seen this, because a lot of people start doing, like, answering emails, taking phone calls or messages from your team while you are on a train, on a bus. So there is the argument that that should be considered working time.
Absolutely. And the fact that's under your tab currently, but it should be under the company's tab, because you are taking that ride to work, right?
It's open to abuse,
from far away.
Open to abuse, no? Like for me, I live like 10 minutes drive away or 5 minutes drive away. But if I take the MRT, it could take another half an hour just to
again, we want to move away. At least personally for me, I think corporations should move away from a very patriarchal style of leading and allow employees to, that honor that trust system and project and results oriented rather than having a lot of too many rules.
Yeah, and I think it would also give us a little bit of a reward for the amount of time that we spend on our phones doing work even outside of the actual office, because that's the problem with being as connected as we are now, right? Every time someone sends in a work message to your WhatsApp group, you start working.
Okay, thanks so much for those messages and the discussion. We'll be coming up to the 7 a.m. news, and after that, we'll take a look at international markets. In the meantime, here's Mezzy Star, Give Me Your Lovin', BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.